but you know, I was late coming home from a meeting the other night, and I told the kids at 6:30 I was going to sit down with them. We were going to go over their speech activity, which was like taking a short story and finding the different plot points, right? And I come in the door and they're all sitting there, and my 18-year-old has got worksheets printed out for all of them. They're all, and he's like leading the thing. And I go, did you start without me? And he says, oh, I could tell you weren't going to be home. We just want to get this over with. And I was like, awesome. Guess who's going to be doing this from now on? You are. Like, it's amazing. Cause sometimes out of necessity, like, they don't wait. Mm-hmm. They know they need to adapt, or yes, sometimes not going to get done. And my husband's always reminding me, the best thing you can do for these kids is not to do everything for them. And that's a struggle for me, who wants to be super efficient, because efficiency is where I live. I just want to get this done. And that is not very compatible with giving kids space to learn. So I'm pushing against that all the time. And my kids sometimes just step in and go, you know, Mom, you don't have the patience for this. We've got it. And that's cool too.
That's Lindsay Nurl, author, writer, entrepreneur, and homeschool mom to six. Lindsay runs a full-time business and helps her husband on the hobby farm, all while homeschooling their kids. Lindsay's interest in small business and entrepreneurship led to a freelance writing career that complemented her own homeschool style. She has been a trusted source for families since 2008. Her tips for budgeting have appeared in various publications, including Time, Shape, Better Homes and Gardens, Reader's Digest, Family Circle, All You, and Woman's World. Her media company, Nurl Family Media, has grown to include her better half in life and business, Sam. Together, Sam and Lindsay work to educate and support their growing family. So grab a seat by the fire as we travel to rural Nebraska and discuss how it is possible to manage it all and create a life where homeschool works for your family. All right, so hello, Lindsay, and welcome to the Homeschool Project Podcast. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Awesome. Well, we are excited to have you on to joining us today. But we do like to start with a little introduction about yourself, your family, where you're from, how long you've been homeschooling, and what it is you do.
Sure. So I've always lived in Nebraska my whole life. I actually lived two houses down from where I grew up after traveling all over and deciding that Nebraska was where I wanted to be. So we have six children. Five boys are all at home, ages 8 through 18. And then my only daughter graduated from college this past year and got a job. So she's 23. And I'm a full-time writer, author. I have a content media company with my husband, and we're homeschooling. We're doing it. So
doing it. That's right. And successfully. I mean, we all are, but that's always so exciting to finally see the first one bridge over into adulthood. Oh,
it is like all the thing. It's kind of like, I told you so, like, yeah. I've been waiting years and years and years to show that it won't completely screw up my kid. And it was just really nice to see.
Yes. It's terrible to say that, like, it's not that we need that, but I think that really does help. It's kind of like our trophy, right? Like, all of this has paid off, and yes, no matter what everyone else said, we did it our way and they are doing just fine. So that's great. Now Nebraska. So where you live, is there a lot of farm?
Yeah, it's all farm. As a matter of fact, when I walk out my door, corn to the right, corn to the left, beans, you know, we are in the middle of a farm area. And then I have an office offsite here, actually, where I rent, so I can get that kind of time that I need to do like my more professional work. A couple hours a day. It makes a huge difference when you're homeschooling and working from home.
That is so nice. I wish I had that. I need to figure that out with Nathan.
It's pretty neat.
So did you grow up on a farm, since you said you are like two houses away?
Yes. Grew up farming family. We actually have a very small acreage. I mean, comparatively speaking, it might seem large for some, but Nebraska, less than 4 acres is a tiny little acreage. And we've got the chickens and the orchard and a lot of gardens and a lot of mess and a lot of fun. And it's been great for my boys.
Awesome. So have you just had that since you had kids, since you guys got married, like your own little hobby farm?
Well, we've moved around till we finally found the place that was ours that we purchased. So this is ours, you know, home renovation, broken water heater, everything, you know, it's our problem to deal with, but it's nice. And it's just been the last 10 years that we've kind of been settled.
Oh, great. And that, do they, your kids, have they grown up helping out? And
yes, the chicken chores have to be done before speech and debate, or, you know, a lot of times they're like, okay, I'll meet you guys, but first I got to take care of the turkeys. You know, it's definitely been a part of strengthening their character and giving them some patience and building muscles in a time when it's been really hard to get out and do a lot of activities, especially the past 18 months.
I was going to say, I think that there's a blessing for those of us. Now, we don't live anything like that. We live on an acre, but we still felt that this was like such a blessing during that time, especially when it was like strict lockdown mode. We didn't really feel too affected because we could just be on site and be happy. And the kids had a place to go roam, and we found stuff to do on the property. And it's, yeah, those are times that it's a great reminder of like why we chose this life.
Oh yeah. It was validation for a lot of like the years of me pulling my hair out and going, this is so much work. Why are we even doing this? And then it was kind of like, for times like these, like it ended up just being exactly what we needed, but we didn't know 10 years ago, this is what we were going to need. So, yeah, you know, it all works out.
No, definitely. That's great. All right. So I always like to hear why families decide to homeschool. So what is the backstory for you guys?
You know, we were moving around a lot, you know, within the same area, but this house wasn't working, you know, and every time we moved, we were in a little bit different school district. And my daughter was around preschool, kindergarten age, and she was kind of having, you know, some developmental, I wouldn't even call them delays. I would call them more differences, which, as you know, don't always go well into the one size fits all school. We're small, rural, one school to choose from. And we just felt like, I'd like to see what we could do ourselves and maybe give her a 1 year kind of head start, start her a little older. And it just worked out so well. We never stopped. So I tell people, when she graduated from college this year and went directly into a copywriting role that she really wanted, that 1 year experiment was just renewed indefinitely. Right. Yeah. And that's kind of how we've approached the homeschool life, is just like renewing it. And as long as it continues to work, we'll keep doing it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Did you ever think you would homeschool?
No. And actually, when my daughter was 3 or 4, we got a lot of pressure from our friend group, and I didn't like anything I was seeing. And I really wanted to work. I really wanted to write and have a career. And I loved working. And what I was being told was, you can't, if you homeschool, like, this is the ultimate sacrifice. And I admire those women and families, but I also felt like maybe there was a different way of doing things. So it took us kind of pulling away from the homeschool community a little bit in those first couple of years to figure out our flow and our schedule. And my husband and I both working opposite shifts so that we could, one of us, be home with the children. And we figured out, yeah, no, homeschooling is for me. It just maybe didn't look like what everybody else was doing.
Yeah, no, I love that. I recently interviewed somebody, and she's the same thing. Like, she's an entrepreneur, and she was just like, I remember going to the homeschool meetings and feeling like I didn't belong. Like, everybody else was talking about, oh, what are you doing for this in your homeschool and whatnot? And she was like, I just wanted to talk business. And I felt like something was wrong with me because I love that part of my life too. And apparently that just wasn't everyone else. And it sounds like you had that similar mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. And I travel a lot for work. Well, normally, and it was really hard to say things like, oh, I can't commit to teaching co-ops. Like, we can't do co-ops because I'm going to be out of town for 10 days. Mm-hmm. We had to find our people group, and there weren't a lot starting out. So now it looks a lot different than it did even back then. I'm actually very excited with just the changes and the innovations and the technology and the things that we've seen come out of the homeschool movement that have made it more accessible to all different kinds of families.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree with that. Now, you did write a book, Homeschool Hacks. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what inspired you to write it?
Sure. Well, out of that frustration that I just shared with the working and the homeschooling, being told can't be done, I felt like it needed to be written about, but that was 8 years ago. And like the maybe two people that would have purchased the book, wasn't it enough for an agent or a publisher to really sign on? So I put that in a drawer, worked on some other things, built my business in content and copywriting. And then with the pandemic, I kind of thought, you know, more people that work are looking into this. Maybe we can give it some legs. So I pulled it out, updated it, added different chapters for military families and temporary homeschoolers and people that were maybe just trying to convert from Zoom school to what we know as more homeschool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we got it sold and turned around, and I had like 60 days to take this old dusty thing and modernize it a little bit. And it was really fun. I like the process of writing a book and getting a book out there. So I think I might try again.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think that's it. You're right with the timing of it all. There have been so many. I did read your book too, and I thought that the book is great and that the majority of it is helping families who are either getting started or considering homeschool. And I mean, you hit like every single topic you could think of when you're considering, will this work for me or how do I get started with this? So I think it's a great resource for new families, and we'll be sure to link to that. Now, going back to kind of about guys with this mindset. So most people that consider or decide to homeschool figure that one parent is not going to work, right? Like that's what they think. Okay, well, we're going to homeschool. One of us isn't going to be working, but you guys did not do that.
Right.
So why did you decide this non-traditional route where both parents are working and trying to homeschool at the same time?
Well, it's a couple of things. My husband and I both grew up in kind of income unstable households. Food insecurity and different things were kind of always an issue. And we always felt like we both needed to be ready at any moment to step in and either provide an income or create a relief from the stability, you know, the dependence on the income. So when my husband was doing like some temporary work or sales work, or maybe times where his work wasn't as demanding, he was fixing the cars or doing the remodeling or whatever we needed to do to take us away from having to earn so much money. So we did a lot of the things that a one income household would do, but that was not our goal to just have that be the solution. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I felt like it was important to model to my children what it looks like to make things work. You know, it may take you working a job you don't love to figure things out and put the kids' educational needs and formation needs and their ability to exist in this always changing world first. And then finally, you know, I was just seeing a lot of stay-at-home moms that said they didn't work. They were all selling something, creating something, putting all their stuff on Etsy. And I was thinking, you work, like, let's be honest here. And I just felt like maybe this is a more honest approach to the role that like traditionally women, and now we're kind of also seeing with men, where you are contributing to the income of your household. Maybe you should take a little pride in that and accept that and embrace that and have that be part of why homeschooling works for your family.
Yes, no, definitely. We are. That's so funny that you bring that up. Yeah. There are a lot of parents who may not consider that working, but they are. And even this whole podcast platform, this is a side hustle for sure. I no longer even call this a hobby because the amount of time that you have to spend putting into this. So whatever you want to call it. Yes. This is definitely like a part-time job here.
It is work. It is work. I did a podcast for a week and I was like, no, I think I'm going to go on other people's podcasts. This is a ridiculous amount of detail oriented stuff that I just, it's not my skill set. So hats off to you.
I was joking with Nathan the other day and I was like, I was having like a brain fart on what the word was. And I go, I thought when you multitask and constantly are doing stuff, our brains are supposed to be like growing. And I feel like I'm like getting less smart with having to juggle all this.
It's atrophy. I said my brain is atrophying as I try to do all these different things. Yes. So
I know it's supposed to be good for it, but it doesn't always feel like that. Well, that's just one of the things that I love about homeschooling families is that we're just so good about thinking outside of the box and then always questioning why something has to be a certain way just because the majority are doing it that way. So again, you being like, okay, just because everybody else may be on a one income family, why can't our homeschool picture look a little different? And it's just, I see that more and more. And that's kind of like what we love about our podcast is getting those families on that are thinking outside the box and questioning what is normal? Like, why is that normal? It doesn't have to be. And I think that that's one of the things, like ever since we started homeschooling, I have begun to question, well, why does it have to be that way? Or why do they have to learn it that way? You know, who says that it has to be that way? I just love how you guys went with that and went the non-traditional route. And I think more are going to follow suit. The next big question is, how do you make it all work and manage it all? And on top of that, with a large homeschooling family of eight, I mean, that's no easy task, and a hobby farm.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I really feel for these parents are choosing to pull their children mid like parenting, right? And they've got all these different ages and the kids are at different developmental levels and you have to try to meet them where they're at all these different stages. It is a lot easier to start from the beginning and grow each child into the responsibilities of homeschooling, right? So with that, you have little kids need more attention, but they also need less formal schooling. And then your older kids need more formal schooling. But if they can't get up, get their laptop open, start working, make breakfast on their own, then I've failed. So there's kind of that give and take. Right now, we have the five kids at home, but the four oldest boys are pretty much, they get their assignment sheets. They get up in the morning. They kind of need that like prompting where you're like, hey, you've watched a little TV, like we need to get work in here. We're not like a schedule, like 9 to 9:30, we're doing language arts and I don't do that in my own business. So I feel like it just doesn't work for me. So I can't really enforce that with my children. I have some kids that choose to do that on their own, but I wanted them to feel more like what it felt like if you were in college and you were giving all these tasks. How do you fit those into your days and how do you make them work? It's a very entrepreneurial mindset. Yeah. So the way it works for me is that my children do have to absolutely take initiative and take ownership. And I am more of a facilitator and a manager and a guidance counselor. So they are interested in something, I research, figure out the best way to give it to them at a cost that fits our budget. And I follow through and check in and constantly assess and reevaluate and shift. I don't teach. There's only one class where I stand in front of my kids and I go, okay, we need to do this. And that is the writing, just because I do that for a living and it just makes mm-hmm. sense. Yeah. But the thought that you need to take 8 hours a day and stand in front of a school room, and I'm sure you've heard this with all of your guests, replicating that public school experience is unnecessary and possibly even harmful because it's not how real world works. Mm-hmm. So we just say, you need to be doing this. And if I have an important deadline to make, I'm in the other room doing that. And then we check in. I check in. I set my tomato timer for 25 minutes of productivity. I need to get up, move my body. So I move my body into the other room and I ask the boys how they're doing. Younger kids need 1 to 2 hours. So that's blocked off time that I'm not available to clients, mm-hmm. that I'm sitting with them and making sure they're reading. But the rest of the day is a lot of open play. It's blocks, mm-hmm. it's Legos, it's tree forts, it's trampoline. It's, you know, my kids have learned, because we've always homeschooled, to stay busy and kind of just experiment. And that's going to be more difficult for families that are coming from a public or private school setting where mm-hmm. every minute of their day has been structured for them. So that's a long way of saying it's easier if you start early, but my kids also have to be very much in charge of their education, because it's not possible for me to get in 6 to 7 hours of work every day plus teach them on top of it. It's just, it can't really be done well. And I wouldn't want to do it that way anyway.
Right. Yeah. So with that being said, and you kind of spoken on this a little, what do you think your kids have gotten from watching you and your husband, you know, work, run your business and juggle life all at the same time?
Well, it's funny because it's definitely brought us closer. They've gotten to the point now, they're like the 18 and the 16 and the 14 year old. They're just like 24/7 opinions. I don't know if you've been around that age group much, but they know everything, right? And they're going to tell you. They've had some fun feedback for even like my business and like how to use certain technologies. And hey, mom, here's this podcast you should be listening to, or here's an influencer that's using this trend that like you should be looking at. And so they are kind of like little mini consultants in some ways. They keep me from getting too stale in business. But also, I've tried to take at least one child with me on every business trip where it's feasible, the older ones. So they learn how to sit on an airplane. They learn how to eat little tiny sandwiches at a late night dinner. They learn how to, you know, tip the housekeeping service at the hotel. Just they learn things that you do when you are a functional adult. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneur or not. But they get to do that because they're not sitting in school all day. So that's kind of like an extra little perk with my type of work and the travel that I do, where I can bring them in and really expand their world even more in that.
Yes, that's already one of the benefits of homeschooling that we've always talked about, is that we can expose our children to things that, unfortunately, kids that are in school, I don't even know how many hours a day, 9-10 hours.
A lot.
You know, right? Like they can't see what else is out there. They can't necessarily always think outside the box. And like for me, and I know things are changing and they're getting better, but like when I graduated high school, I thought I had A, B, or C as a career option. Right. I thought college was the only option. Where I feel like in our this homeschooling environment, because we expose them to so much, and they get to see all these different careers and life experiences, then they start thinking outside the box and realizing there is so much more out there. And I'm sure the same with you, like even just our daughter, our oldest, seeing us create this podcast from the ground up, the amount of work we put into it, the passion that we have for it, she sees that. And she already starts talking about like wanting to run her own business one day. And, you know, she plays with different ideas of what it is, but she's actually thinking with that entrepreneurial mindset, which I think is so important. And I'm sure your kids now seeing what you have done are like, yeah, there's more out there and I can create maybe my own job, you know?
Yeah. It's funny too, because, you know, every kid wants to be like a YouTuber. My 11-year-old is going through this right now. He's taking a course online on being a YouTuber. And then I sit him down and I go, well, hun, this is like all that goes into editing. He's like, I really want to do that. Right. So like, there's kind of this advantage of like seeing how the sausage is made, right? That in one way brings an element of reality to it, which mm-hmm. for some kids, it's not going to matter. They're going to want to do what they're going to want to do, but you also won't have a kid like going to college for 4 years for something that they're going to potentially hate mm-hmm. because all they know about it is what they've seen like in a 10-second clip in some career video. I knew when I graduated, they basically said, do you want to be a teacher? Do you want to go into business? Or do you want to like go into a trade? And for a lot of the girls in my school, it was like, okay, business or teacher. So I did what everyone did. And I went to college to be a teacher. And I lasted a year because I just could not stand the thought of being around kids all day long. And then I went and had a whole bunch of them. But it is different because I think with homeschooling, we're really good at reverse engineering. So a kid says, like, I have a 14-year-old. He's like, I either want to blow up stuff or build bionic legs. I mean, these are like two kind of very different things. And we're like, okay, so if you want to like 3D print legs for people who've lost limbs, let's look at what technology is involved in that, what you're going to need to know, some people that are actually doing that, and reverse engineer it. So you're taking the classes and we're researching the opportunities that will get you there versus, hey, you're a senior, you graduate tomorrow. What do you want to do? Which is such a big question to ask a kid. It's a whole new way of doing life. And I'm super excited about it.
Yes, no, definitely. I mean, we talk about that all the time, that I remember that feeling. And I'm like, at 18, how can you know what you want to do for the rest of your life? Especially when you've been in the system your whole career, your school career life. Like you just don't know what else is out there. Maybe if your parents were entrepreneurs growing up, you got a taste of that, but it's so hard. So that's why I love also the flexibility that homeschool brings, that during those high school years, maybe they can get involved in apprenticeships or volunteer and get a taste of things that they're interested in instead of wasting all that time afterwards to find out that they didn't love it. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was that with you guys working, it's kind of like you said, you create a rhythm in your homeschool that's going to work for everybody all around. And in a way, it's not like, I hate to use the word force, but you are pushing more of that independent work for your kids, which I think is so important. I know that when our oldest daughter came out of school, because she wasn't always homeschooled, it's like she didn't know how to think for herself. And it was so frustrating. Like she wanted us to give her the answers to everything, to tell her how to do everything. Because in school, when the overwhelmed teacher has 30 kids and they're all asking this, that, and the other, they can't really take that extra time to be like, no, what do you think? Or let's see you do it. Or, and I think that there's a beauty in encouraging that independence in your kids. So I don't think that if somebody's thinking like, well, I mean, if you're not sitting down with them the whole time, don't you feel bad? And I beg to differ. I think that there's a beauty in encouraging your kids to have that autonomy. Like, okay, you now need to decide, what are you going to do next with your time? Are you going to waste it? Are you going to be productive? Because there could be consequences if you're not productive, you know?
Yeah. And not everyone has sibling groups. We're blessed with 5 boys that are very close. But, I was late coming home from a meeting the other night, and I told the kids at 6:30, I was going to sit down with them. We were going to go over their speech activity, which was like taking a short story and finding the different plot points, right? And I come in the door and they're all sitting there, and my 18-year-old has got worksheets printed out for all of them. They're all, and he's like leading the thing. And I go, did you start without me? And he says, oh, I could tell you weren't going to be home. We just want to get this over with. And I was like, awesome. Guess who's going to be doing this from now on? You are. Like, it's amazing. Cause sometimes out of necessity, like they don't wait. Mm-hmm. They know they need to adapt, or it's sometimes not going to get done. And my husband's always reminding me, the best thing you can do for these kids is not to do everything for them. And that's a struggle for me, who wants to be super efficient, because efficiency is where I live. I just want to get this done. And that is not very compatible with giving kids space to learn. So I'm pushing against that all the time. And my kids sometimes just step in and go, Mom, you don't have the patience for this. We've got it. And that's cool too. Yes.
No, I think that that's like an accomplishment then. Yeah. Like, that, what better way to set up your kids for life than that, And another thing from your book that I liked while we're on the topic was that in one section of your book, you do interview families who are working and homeschooling and picking their brains on how they make it work. But you pick families with different scenarios, which I found it very helpful, because first of all, maybe somebody who's considering doing this or at the beginning of like trying to work and homeschool at the same time is getting a good idea of like these different scenarios. Okay, well, that's how they, I like what they did here in this one, and this one. But then it's also a great reminder that once again, most new homeschooling families don't like this answer, but like you have to do what's best for your family. And I can't tell you ABC because it's going to look different. And that really like portrays that when you interviewed these variety of families, like they all look different, their rhythms, their schedules, how they made it work, their values, they were all different. And I just thought that that was such a great reminder to that newer homeschooler. Like, again, they're making it work in their own family and with their own circumstances. And just because this one looked like this does not mean that they weren't successful compared to that family. So I like that section too.
Thank you. Well, and it's so dumb, because at this point I should be like, my kids go, Mom, you wrote the book, why are you so insecure? But I am, like, we tend to look over at what other people are doing and go, is this weird? Is this too weird? Should I not be doing this? And I was just like, okay, even I look at other people and think, oh, I should be using this amazing new brand new curriculum that takes 16 hours of prep time a week or whatever it is that I think I need to do. We get that FOMO. It's really bad in homeschoolers. It is. And I thought, okay, the worst crises I've ever had were crises of self where I've just, things are working, but for some reason I think they should be working better. Or I look at other people and I think they're doing it better. And I thought, okay, let's show some different people. It won't match you, but if it even just says mine doesn't look like every other person in my homeschool group, but either does this other person's in the book. And that's just kind of this little bit of permission. That's what I needed when I started. And I still need today. Yes.
Yeah. I think like you said, that's just natural thinking. I feel I'm the same way. Like I can sit here and talk and encourage others to not, you know, compare or any of that, but I think it's human nature and you can fall into that trap and you just kind of have to remind yourself, okay, no, that definitely would not work in our scenario. Right. As beautiful as that looks over there with that family. So you just have to figure it out. And it is, it's a constant, like every year has been different for us with, we kind of have some things that flow very typical with our family. So we got like that certain rhythm, but we still tweak because life changes, circumstances change all the time. And even when you think you have this big picture for the year of how you think it's going to look, you just have to constantly like reevaluate, like, okay, we need to change things up again. It's just not working. All right. So I think, yes. So we're now on to the final questions that we like to ask all of our guests. So if you could hand a book to every new person that you met, what book would it be besides the book that you wrote?
You know, this is such a hard question and I thought about it for a really long time and you're probably going to hate me, but I honestly think a blank notebook.
Okay. And why is that?
And a really good pen. Because I every week write a weekly plan for my family and it looks just like junk by like Tuesday or Wednesday. It doesn't look anything like what I thought. And I know there's some amazing planners out there and I know there's some amazing like tools, but I think where I get most stress is when I have a plan and it all goes off the rails and it always goes off the rails. Like we have a funeral this week and I had a kid that broke a foot and you know, things happen, all your stuff goes off the rails. So I like to keep a blank notebook in my bag with a pen and I like to make lists and I like to make plans. And when that plan no longer works anymore, rather than crossing everything out and feeling like an absolute failure, I just rip the page out, copy over what can still be salvaged and make a new list. And sometimes in a week, I'll have 9 to 12 iterations of the same list. And that's what I would do. And so I know that's probably not, I feel like we need permission to burn it all down and start again as many times as needed, because we're living in kind of some really trying times, even more trying than when I started. And I need permission to just redo it as many times as I need. And your kids need to see that that's okay too. If they even have a hint, it's like they have this indwelling, like some kind of like radar where if they sense that you sense that things aren't going well, they're like, are we okay? Am I not learning? Am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Are public school kids smarter than me? It's like they sense all that. Yes. So if you don't let them see that your planner's just wrecked and that, yes, you're behind in this, but you're ahead on this. And if you don't let them see that, I think it's a little bit better. And I would definitely have a blank notebook for clean, nice new lists that you can infinitely rewrite as your life requires it.
I love that. That's great advice though. That's great. That's a very unique answer. We've never gotten that, but I love it. So if you could only leave one last piece of wisdom for your children, what would it be?
I would just tell my kids that your family that you live with now are always going to be your family. And you may not always like each other and you may not always agree with each other, but there's kind of like this sense of being educated together. You're forming the biggest portion of who you're going to be as a person together. And so when my kids really struggle to get along, I remind them of things that they've worked on together that have turned out really well. And that's a benefit with homeschooling that you don't always get when you have a fourth grader and a 12th grader who maybe have never met at school during the school day. Mm-hmm. We just look back on our wins and we try to recapture that feeling, because it can be really easy to be discouraged and it can be really easy to just feel like a failure right now. Make a list of the wins and look back and understand that that family bond you're building now can get you through a lot of stuff.
You can. It's so true. And speaking from my own personal experience, I still have a very strong relationship with my sisters, and that's, you're right. It makes all the world of a difference. So that is a great way to end it. And final question, where can our listeners find you and your book?
So I'm pretty active on Twitter at LNeural, and lindseyneural.com is my website, professional website. You can find me there. But the book is, you know, widely distributed through Barnes Noble, Target, Walmart, Amazon. If you like to support small bookstores, let them know about it. And if you're on a budget, they're in a lot of libraries as well. So it's something you can check out and read through and decide if it's something you want to buy.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Lindsay, for that. And thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Love the conversation. And I hope that, or I know that it will help inspire and encourage other families, especially those that are considering the juggle. So I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
We want to thank Lindsay for joining us today. Her shared experience and words of encouragement help give families the permission they finally need to breathe and focus on the important things in life. For any books mentioned in this conversation, as well as curriculum resources from past guests and free downloadable packets, be sure to check out our show notes. Thank you all for joining us around the campfire today, as well as those of you who continue to join us each and every week faithfully. If you have been enjoying our podcast, please be sure to follow us on your podcast app and write a review. We would also love for you to connect with us on social media or send us an email. We hope you guys have an amazing Thanksgiving week. And as always, let's light a fire they can't put out.